Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So we welcome in Scott Garceau. Scott, how are you?
What's up, Jeremy? Before we go any further, I'm putting on my uncle hat here. You get the Lamar Jackson Award for social distancing. I saw you post a couple of pictures where you were hugging people way too much and close.
But those pictures are from way back when.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I just got them. Someone just sent them to me.
I said, well, maybe that wasn't taken recently.
They were actually from like a birthday party last year, and someone just sent them to me. And I said, oh, thanks. I didn't even think about when I posted them. Somebody's going to go, the hell's this idiot doing? Doesn't he know he can spread the virus?
Yeah, I was waiting to see Lamar with his arms around.
Hey, before we get to the football stuff, too, we had a legend pass away, Al Kaline. And I know you probably had more of a chance of seeing him than I did, but give me your take.
I did, Jeremy. And here's the thing. Well, Al Kaline, if you were a baseball fan back when I was growing up, you knew he was first ballot Hall of Famer. But, you know, I grew up in Michigan with two older brothers that were both Tiger fans. So the Tigers were on the radio every night. I was listening. It wasn't my team. My team was the Milwaukee Braves back then. But, you know, Ernie Harwell was calling the games. And I heard a ton of Al Kaline. The guy was phenomenal. Southern High School in Baltimore. Working family from South Baltimore. Dad built brooms. I read this story today. His dad built brooms. His mom scrubbed floors. And Al Kaline signed the day after he graduated from Southern High School. And I think the bonus was $30,000 or $35,000. And what he did with that, back then, that ton of money, superstars were probably making $60,000, $70,000 a year. So he paid off his parents' mortgage with that the day after he graduated. And then never wore another uniform but the Tigers. I'm not sure if anybody else that's played like a 22-year career like Al Kaline. He signed, and the Tigers brought him to the big leagues. The first season, played a little bit that year, has a real good 54 season his second year, second, I think, in rookie of the year voting. And then in 55, he's 20 years old. He hits .340. I got the numbers here. 200 hits, 27 homers, 102 RBIs. He's second in the MVP voting at 20 years old. So he never played a second in the minor leagues. The only uniform he ever wore was the Tigers. And here's the best thing I can say about him, Jeremy. He was to Detroit what Brooks Robinson is to Baltimore. And I don't mean just as a Hall of Fame player, but that Hall of Fame person that never had a bad day and was great with the fans. Broadcast a long time with the Tigers when he retired, and he was just phenomenal. 10 gold gloves, 399 career homers. I think when he retired, only one other player had hit 400 homers and 3,000 hits. He said, if I knew it was so important, I would have hung around and got one more. But he 399 and over 3,000 hits, and his career batting average was right below 300. Great, great player.
Yeah, and just sad to see him go. And we're hearing more and more of that, you know, some things with the coronavirus and then other things, you know, more and more celebrities passing away. And
The Tom Dempsey story, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's just a ton of Kenny Rogers passed away and a bunch of, you know, just it's crazy. But I wanted to get in this list because I saw some stuff earlier. No matter what you do, I don't know how often people – I've told you before when you guys were voting on the Hall of Fame, I'd text you after the results would come out and say, hey, I think you guys did a really good job. When I don't text you, that means I don't think you did a good job. So just so you know. No.
True.
But I mean, we all have our preference, and it's very difficult to compare players and what you guys have. But this list, it's odd because you're talking about a decade. So you have a certain amount of time. Like there could be guys that played, you know, 5 years in a decade and somebody else may have played eight. So they actually have, whatever, more receptions or more touchdowns or more interceptions. Because I saw Joe Hayden made a post and he was like, he listed all the guys you had there and a couple other players. And he goes, how am I not on an all-decade team? But if I was going to compare him and his career to Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, or Richard Sherman, I think the other three guys are always going to get the edge, right?
Yes. The list released today just shows one team, right? In the past, so I voted on the 2000-2010 decade team, and that one had a first team, second team. And I think the ones prior to that did. This year they put more spots available, but when we voted, I got my ballot in front of me, we voted for first team and second team. And when it came out, a lot of people were surprised. And I think that hurt Suggs, because Suggs would have made the second team, I think, if there was a second team. You just mentioned Patrick Willis made it. I looked. I had 46 of the 55, counting special teams, coaches, offense, and defense. I had 46 of the 55 listed. And I got a tough time picking Patrick Willis this decade over a Terrell Suggs. Patrick Willis played basically 4 years in the decade. Suggs played 10. I think he was in the top 10 in the decade. He had a defensive player of the year. I'm not knocking Patrick Willis. Very good player. But how can you compare a guy that played 4 years against Suggs, who was out there for 10 years and was really good against the run, wasn't just an edge rusher that got the quarterback? So I kind of feel bad for Suggs. The headline for me, Jeremy, was Marshall Yanda, one of, what was it, 7 or 8 unanimous picks?
Yeah.
Marshall Yanda unanimous, that cements, if there was any doubt, is he going to get in? Will he get in on the first ballot? I'm not sure. I think he's got a good chance now. But if not, it'll be the second or third year. Marshall Yanda cemented any question about him being a Hall of Famer with this.
How about Tom Brady making it in last year's all-decade and this year's all-decade, something that'll probably
cool.
never be done?
You know Jeremy? I mean, everybody knew he was in there. And when you had me on earlier, I said, I voted for Aaron Rodgers, and I go out of my way, try not to lean toward teams or guys I like, whether it's a Raven or a Packer.
Mm-hmm.
But I can make a case. Now, Brady probably was 4th or 5th if you totaled the stats in the decade. But, you know, when you win all those Super Bowls and played great in the big games and your team had the best record in the decade, you're going to get there. Second best record in the decade, Green Bay Packers. Now, I told you if it was Drew Brees, I'm not going to say, oh, my God, Rodgers got robbed. It couldn't be Brees. Brees, more touchdowns, more yards passing than anybody in the decade. He was healthy. He missed some games this year, but he played almost the entire decade. And he passed 69.5%, which is crazy. For a decade, he passed at almost 70%. Now, if you want to argue Rodgers, he had the best quarterback rating of the decade. Here was the area where I thought maybe there was a difference. Drew Brees threw 127 interceptions. Rodgers threw 63.
Wow.
Drew Brees threw 17 pick sixes. Rodgers threw one. By the way, Jeremy, Peyton Manning only played a half a decade, threw 12 pick sixes. Aaron Rodgers threw one. I just thought I'd remind you of that.
Yeah, Peyton,
But it does say something about, you know, Rodgers only won one Super Bowl. Brees won one, but he did win one this decade.
Yeah.
And Brees in the postseason, 4-6 record this decade, 21 touchdowns, 10 picks. Rodgers, 10-8 in the postseason, 36 touchdowns, 11 picks. So Rodgers threw one more pick, but he also threw 26 more touchdowns than Drew Brees did in this decade.
Yeah,
both of those guys are going to walk in. First ballot Hall of Famers. They're probably both in the conversation, top 5-6 quarterbacks of all time. But when they only give you two spots and you know one's Brady, that's a tough pick.
Yeah, just to be fair, though, I've always said that Peyton's all the other offensive players weren't very good at tackling, so you can't really blame those pick sixes on him. Those guys were better tacklers, and they could kept
some
points off the board.
But how about Rodgers throwing a decade and throwing one pick six? That's pretty crazy.
I remember that statistic when we were talking about it, and I'm trying to think who it finally happened against, because it was a goofy play in the past couple years.
I think
that
it was in the last year or two, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they always brought it up when he was on Monday Night Football. He's like, he's never thrown a pick six, and then something happened with a tip pass, and it was ran in, and you know, like, we all know how special he is, and it is interesting, though, when you talk about the quarterbacks. Do you want the winningest one? And you know he's going to get in, and Brady, and then you start comparing the numbers between Rodgers and Brees. There's really no wrong answer.
Here's something, Jeremy, tell me where you stand on this one. So Witten caught more catches than any tight end this decade, 692. Mm-hmm. I voted for Jimmy Graham over Kelsey. Now, here's where I think the eye tricks you a little bit, because you look at Kelsey now, and he's one of the greats. You think he's Gronk-like. He's a better blocker than Jimmy Graham, so you got to give him points for that, too. But Jimmy Graham in the decade was first in yards receiving, He had almost 8,000 yards receiving. He had 74 touchdowns in the decade to 37 for Kelce, and he was second in catches. Only Witten had more. So I had Jimmy Graham and Gronk, and then I think I had Witten and Kelce. And if you say Kelce, but I just think Jimmy Graham hasn't been real good the last three,
yeah,
4 years.
Yeah, I think
right?
That's probably
– he was phenomenal.
Well, in that first six, one of the years he led the entire league in touchdowns, I think it was 17.
Yes.
And I even said, God, I want to go back when you and I were doing the show, maybe it was 2013, 2014, that I thought he was the most dangerous weapon in the league. And meaning, when you look at guys like Calvin Johnson and how some of those other guys played, yeah, clearly I'd rather have them. But the position he plays and the numbers he puts up, he's just such a difficult guard. And then when he went to Seattle, the numbers just kind of dipped, and in injuries it kind of prohibited him. So, but when he was with the Saints, he was one of the best weapons in the league, bar none.
Well, I think it's a little bit of Kelce looks so good, and he's doing it now, that when you get that ballot in front of you, you go, oh, man, I got to get Kelce on there. And then you look, and Kelce has 37 touchdowns in the decade. Jimmy Graham has 74. So, yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Kelce. He's probably going to have a first ballot Hall of Fame career. But if you're looking at just the decade, and that's what we're supposed to do. I also had Haloti Ngata on my defensive line, and I think, who was it, Fletcher Cox maybe?
Yeah,
Fletcher Cox,
Aaron Donald, and Sue, and Atkins.
So I had Ngata over Cox. Maybe it's close, but I think Haloti Ngata deserves some consideration. But it's really weird this year. So they made more spots available, but they didn't do a first team and second team, and I think a guy like Ngata and Suggs maybe on a normal year might have got that second team honor.
You know what's odd to me is I think in any given decade when you want to do this, because of the crossover and everything else and the opportunity cost for some of the running backs to really play for extended periods of time, that has to be probably the hardest position to grade. And like if you look at Frank Gore, who made the list, and I think he should be on there, he accumulated everything over years by staying healthy and keep playing.
You're right.
You know, the numbers there, but I think he should be there. Marshawn Lynch made it, but that has to be – Adrian Peterson's on there, which seems to be a clear one to me. And then, of course...
Here's my second, guys. I'm looking at my ballot. So I had the four that were picked.
Okay.
Peterson, McCoy, Lynch, and Gore. And then my second team guys were Matt Forte, Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, and Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram, man, you look at the numbers, the touchdowns. He had 70-some touchdowns in the decade. Now, you know, you don't think of him with the, you know, winning rushing titles or anything that, but he was so steady and scored a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, it was like eight touchdowns every year.
I put him in. I was fighting over the, like, seventh, eighth spot at the running back, and I kept going through numbers and comparing guys, and I go, you know what? Ingram deserves it.
Are there any Ravens that – well, you mentioned Ngata because, like, Tucker got in, Yanda gets in, and then on the defensive side, it feels weird saying it. I mean, you had Earl Thomas get in and you had Eric Weddle get in, but let's be honest,
yeah,
they had a cup of coffee here on the defensive side. It feels weird not having somebody like a Suggs on that all-decade team.
I agree, and I thought Suggs should be there. Maybe Patrick Willis got him, and Willis played 5 years, but one of the years he only played like two or three games, so he basically had a four-year decade where Suggs played the entire 10. I looked up, even though Suggs doesn't get all-decade, that might hurt him a little bit for the Hall of Fame. But he's sitting right now at eighth on the all-time sack list. And his tackles for a pass rusher are really good against the run. He's only 3.5 sacks away. He's a half sack behind Jason Taylor and, 2.5 sacks behind Michael Strahan. With 3.5 sacks, if he came back for another year, he could be top five all-time in sacks. I think whether he's fifth, seventh, eighth, I still think he gets in. It may not be first ballot, but that guy was pretty good for a long time. Defensive player of the year. Rookie defensive player of the year.
Last thing for you here. I think you guys nailed the wide receivers. Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones.
That was fairly – I mean, who do you have behind those guys that you could build the case for at wide receiver? D-Hop, I guess.
Yeah.
A.J. Green.
I mean, Tyreek Hill was saying something on Twitter like, hey, people are making noise about this list. I guess he was trying to say maybe I deserve some recognition, but you can't put Tyreek Hill over any of these guys.
It's hard to see him trumping any of those four, right?
Yeah. Well, and I brought up, because I said this to you, and we didn't even get to it because we were talking about so many other things. You know, Stephon Diggs, what was that, last week or the week before when I had you on, he brought up who are the top five receivers of all time. And for me, you know, excluding, we'll get to Don Hutson in a second, I said I feel like if you don't have Rice, Moss, and I believe Fitzgerald should be in your top five when you go look at what he did his entire career, that those are three that must be on the list. Now, when you start talking,
I agree with you. I think that the three I got Moss up there with you, Moss, Hudson, and Jerry Rice. You know, they're there, and then you can start, you know, crossing your T's and dotting your I's mm-hmm. on the other guys that might be close.
Well, there's there's the TOs. So on my list, I had, and I said, look, it's my list. So I'm going to make it what I want. And I didn't see Hudson play, but I had Marvin Harrison, and I thought about putting Antonio Brown in his place. But you know my affinity, and I told you this before with Chris Carter. I think he has the best hands in the history of the league. And
agree,
unbelievable.
And his numbers are pretty good too. You look at those touchdowns, right?
So I had him at five. Yeah. But I left T.O. off my list.
Lance Allworth will show up for some old timers. You know,
Steve Largent.
Steve Largent, another guy that put up some huge numbers for a long time.
So, but you know, real quick,
Jeremy, here's one interesting. And I text the guy from the NFL office to ask. I said, you listed all these unanimous. Are you saying that none of the coaches were unanimous? You would think Bill Belichick would be unanimous, right?
That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's some voters that didn't like some of the annex or something. I voted for. I told you I had Belichick and Pete Carroll, the two that made it, and then I had Andy Reid and John Harbaugh as my second team coaches.
Yeah, I think I have no argument there. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks have been really successful. I'm not a pom-pom Pete guy, but you know, I get it.
Yeah, so. me either. I'm not Bill's biggest fan either. But if you look at what he did in the decade, you better vote him as your coach.
Thanks a lot.
If he didn't get unanimous, I'd like to find out who didn't vote for him and why. I think I know why, but it would be interesting to say, I don't think he was the coach of the decade.
Well, partner, appreciate yeah, he did. Oh, it's incredible. I appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you got to get back to
Jeremy,
the family.
I'm not doing anything. It's not like you pulled me from anything, right?
Oh, really? Yeah.
I've cleaned out closets I didn't even know I had. I'm running out of things to do.
Are you watching
today
any more movies,
doors,
TV?
Screen doors today.
Oh, nice. Yeah, are you watching any television?
A little bit. Watched some movies. What did I watch? I've been trying to catch a movie a night, at least every other night. I did Hoosiers the other night. Last night I did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay. Did you like it? Katie and I watched it the other day.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah. I was fine with it.
Well,
my wife wouldn't watch it.
Yeah,
I watched it like midnight, so everybody was to bed. I was good with it.
Because Tarantino does that where he takes something that happened and he twists up the ending of happened, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and it was my time period, too. It was, you know, it's a 60s thing. I lived through all of that, what was going on in the world at that time.
It was pretty cool the way they were doing the movie scenes and all that. Katie was laughing at me because I'm laughing and smiling. She's like, why are you smiling? I said, I'm really enjoying it. She's like, you're weird. Like, she was just
you're weird.
But
we
she
knew
that all along. So anyway, Scott, appreciate your time, man. We'll check back in again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.